Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreeke.
Delphi, Indiana. Of course, the place where the Delphi tragedy took place. Two little girls losing their lives on a bridge many, many years ago now. The trial of Richard Allen, the man who's been accused of taking those little girls' lives, coming up very, very soon. And yeah, there's been a lot of questions, though. Is he really the man? There was other suspects that were looked at, kind of, and evidence gathered. But then that evidence went away, disappeared, gone, deleted, taped over. What was in those interviews? What was that evidence? And how much of an impact would it have truly on bringing justice to those two little girls? Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent. It's disturbing as we learn more and more about this case of all of the roads they did not go down that should have been gone down. Elvis Fields being one of those individuals who was brought up early, who even made admissions to his sister. He did this, even talked about the crime scene in ways that he shouldn't have known about. But they didn't look at him much further. They didn't want to go down the Odinist route, even though they had investigators going down that route. What's your thoughts on this? It was really interesting on the stand the other day when one of the former officers on the case started talking about what they were exploring initially, but never got very far on it.
Yeah, I'm thinking a few things on this one. It remains as complicated and convoluted as it's ever been. What the public is also seeing here is how the system generally works. And just because, boy, it's really interesting. In my world in the FBI, it's a partnership, basically, with the prosecutor. Mm-hmm. And even on espionage investigations that I did and the spy recruiting stuff I did, it's a partnership. So if we have a lead, if we have information at my level as an investigator that a crime or something has taken place, I can initiate that. I can do an investigation into that. But ultimately, I have to bring that to a prosecutor that's going to bring it to court. Mm-hmm. And so then it's up to the prosecutor as to kind of direct the investigation so that they have enough confidence they can bring it to trial and win. Mm-hmm. And so it's always kind of this give and take of this partnership between the two. And so in this case, for some reason, the prosecution didn't want to look at anyone else. And that's what we're wondering why. Is it because, and I think we're only going to know the answer to this question when the trial starts. You know, for some reason, here's what we should see, Tony. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think the real test is. When this goes to trial, if this is righteous and none of these other people should have been looked at, to the level that it looks like we think they should be looked at, mm-hmm. the evidence presented by the prosecution should be concrete and overwhelming to everyone.
Yeah.
If it's not, that's when everyone's going to do what we're doing right now. We're going to poke a lot of holes in it.
And I'm wondering, are we going to see that? I guess anything is possible. It just seems by the amount of missteps that they've had that, mm-hmm. I mean, we're walking into this with not a lot of faith that they did handle it correctly, that they didn't go down those roads for a reason. You know, if you already have it, everything's over here. I get it. Don't explore those roads if you really have that concrete case. But I don't know that they do.
I don't either. And I don't have confidence in it. That's why that word I'm using is overwhelming evidence. And from what we're seeing, I don't think so. But again, it's conjecture until we start seeing the data and the evidence coming in. You know, we got to go where the data's evidence brings us. But in this case, it's every single day there seems to be another misstep, another mishandling. They keep fueling the same fire they wish the world would put out, and that's these conspiracy theories. But they keep fueling it by their own actions. It's absolutely dumbfounding to me.
I mean, are we talking about, we've said this before, you know, are we talking, is this really just kind of a Keystone Cop type situation where they just didn't know what the hell they were doing? They weren't very professional. They didn't do things to the depth that they should have because they just weren't that experienced in this, or they were very, you know, narrow-minded, and then, I don't know. I mean, or is this a cover-up? Because, I mean, the two can look very, very similar.
I think in most of these cases that we have these things, everyone's looking for one big flaming, this was it.
Yeah.
But very rarely it's one big flaming thing. Usually it's like all the things we're mentioning, it is all of it. It's a little bit of this, little bit of this, little bit of this, little bit of this. And when you have this little bit of everything, it erodes at the base of trust and confidence. And I think that's exactly what happened. Do I think there's a little bit to be said about the Odinist theory? Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Is it the main drive? Do we think there's definitely Keystone Cop handling of the investigation, especially early on? Yeah. Yes. Is it the entire reason why it's all falling apart? Probably not. It's all these little things here and there that just erode that base of trust that we are looking for in our institutions, in our legal system, that I think have really undermined their entire position.
I mean, it's almost like, you know, covering up graffiti on a wall or something with like paint.
Right. That's a great analogy.
It's like it's there. You know, here's what initially happened. We went around and spray painted. We said, this is the guy. This is what it is. And then they were like, let's put a new coat of paint over this. That paint may peel off someday and you're going to find the graffiti again. It's still going to be there. There's only so much you can cover it up with that's going to truly hide what happened.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.